So we've been talking about faith here the past month or so. If you learned anything about faith, been challenged about your faith. Week one, we talked about faith is a response, right? Do you remember that? Okay, I hope so. Faith is a response to God's grace, his gift he's poured out for us, and we respond to that. It's not arm twisting. It's not trying to get God to do something for us. It's not making a deal with God. He's already given us everything we need for life and godliness. Amen. So faith is simply our response. God, we agree with you. We agree with what you've said. We agree that with the fact that you've given us everything. You paid it all. If you sent Jesus, how would you not freely with him give us everything else we need? So Father, we agree with you. It's as simple as that, right? So faith is not complicated. It's simple in that regard. And then Harry talked to us about being fully persuaded. He talked to us about having some mementos. Not Mentos, the candy, but mementos. Like reminders of God's faithfulness to be fully persuaded, right? And you can go back and listen to those. I encourage you to go back and listen to those on the podcast. All available online for free. There you go. We're not going to charge you a dime for those. And but they're priceless. Amen? Growing in faith. You need that. Feed your faith. Tonight we're going to talk about how to use your faith. We kind of give you a glimpse of that in lesson one about responding to God's grace and how do you exercise your faith. But really, we're going to talk about how do you use your faith. You have faith. You recognize that faith is a response to God's grace. We recognize that we're fully persuaded. How do we get fully persuaded? We have to dive into the Word. We have to immerse ourselves in the Word of God so that it fills us up. And we're convinced. He talked to you the last time about people are convinced about some crazy stuff, right? Well, you need to be convinced about the truth in God's Word to the point that you're willing to act on it as truth. But how do you use your faith? How do you exercise it? You know, what's the big deal about faith? I want to talk to you about the power of words tonight. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. It'll be your message title, The Power of Words. Nothing really clever or exciting about that, but it's the truth. Amen. It's the truth that there is power in your words. And the matter of fact, Proverbs 18:21 puts it this way. It's a book of wisdom, insight, revelation. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Power. Everybody say that. My words have power. Growing up with having a six-year-old in the house and having kids in the house and they're growing up and the entertainment around the house as far as what's on Netflix or the Roku or whatever has been constantly changing. And so we began with like Sesame Street where we're like learning words and Adelie's really into Elmo's World. It's not just Elmo. Like the red creature is not just Elmo, okay? His last name is World, okay? And his middle name is S, Elmo's World. That's what all she calls him. She doesn't know, just Elmo. It's always Elmo's World. So Sesame Street. And then now Karis is really into this show called Word Girl. Anybody with kids know what Word Girl is? All right, I'm going to introduce you to Word Girl tonight. Word Girl is a superhero who uses her colossal vocabulary to fight crime, okay? To defeat villains along with her her monkey sidekick, whose name happens to be Captain Huggy Face. Captain Huggy Face? True story. True story. This is an actual show on PBS Kids. And so, I'm not watching, I don't get to watch my action movies anymore. You know, there's not a lot of Sylvester Stallone around my house right now. It's like Word Girl is the superhero. I can't even watch Man of Steel. Word Girl. Okay? So this is my world right now. And so here's the deal. But I look for illustrations and everything I consume so that I can give them to you in this manner. And so Word Girl, in some episodes, she has to use what's called power words. Does that sound familiar? The power of words is our message title. So she uses power words. What are power words? She has to use these power words to overcome and conquer, all right, any villain or whatever. So in one particular episode, Word Girl is up against this Viking-like creature. He's got the Viking helmet on. And for whatever reason, this Viking is in a jewelry store, like heisting the diamonds, like stealing the diamonds in the jewelry store. What would a Viking need with diamonds? I have no idea. But that's the premise of the word girl story. So in the whole idea, and this is really, it's a throwback, but the kids, like a six-year-old doesn't know it's a throwback, but it's like a throwback to the Batman of old. Okay, you remember like when the announcer comes on, what is Word Girl going to do, you know? And will she use her power words? And then it's always engaging the kids, and you have to, you know, so they put up four words on the screen there. And so the kids, you know, you have to pick out which power word she's going to use. So in this particular episode, the Word Girl is facing the Viking that's stealing the diamonds in the jewelry store. It's so far-fetched, it's entertaining. And so they put these words up on the screen. Well, what will she do? Which word will she use to defeat the villain? Okay, will she boogie? Boogie, all right. So they go through this. Well, what's boogie? And they show Captain Huggy Face and Word Girl doing a little jig. Boogie. So we know what boogie means. It doesn't mean to defeat, all right? Boogie means to dance. Ponder. Okay, so they, there's four words. Ponder, boogie, thwart, and shuffle. Okay, so the kids are supposed to pick which power word that Word Girl and Captain Huggy Face are going to use to do. I know you're so entertained, Eric. You're thinking, man, I can't wait till Addison gets older so I can watch this. So we all know that the word is what? Thwart. Okay, some of you are like, what is that? Thwart. It's not ponder, it's not shuffle, it's not boogie. It's thwart. Okay, it's thwart. So she has to use the right word to thwart the enemy. So when the kids pick the right word, the announcer comes on the screen. Yes, she has thwart her enemy, and they show her throwing a lasso and that kind of thing. But it's a crazy illustration, but I hope you picture this when you realize that we're not using our expansive vocabulary. We're not having to pick the right word. We have to understand that it's not about expanding our vocabulary. It's about using what we have. It's about using the power word, the word of God, as our colossal repertoire or arsenal of vocabulary, all right? Words are power words. Say, I've got power words. So we use those to defeat the enemy. We use those to exercise our faith. There is power in our words. Matter of fact, the verse preceding, verse 21 of Proverbs 18, verse 20, says this: a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Isn't that interesting? And then it leads into death and life are in the power of the tongue. You're satisfied by the produce of your lips. Just as a farmer plants seed and harvests a crop, your words are what feed you. Your words are what sustain you. Your life today is a result of what you said yesterday. Your life this week is a result of what you said last week. Your life this year is a result of what you said or didn't say last year. Now let that sink in for a second. Are you where you want to be today? If you're not where you want to be today, then you can change where you will be tomorrow by changing what you say today. Because my words have power. Amen? Your words have power. Let's look at some more scripture. Because it's not just a concept. It's not just positive thinking. It's not just this psychological mumbo jumbo. This is the Word of God. And I'm going to give you a lot of scripture tonight to back it up, because it's not just, you know, I didn't just read a self-help book and we're not just trying this out to see if it works. I didn't find this in that section of Barnes & Noble. This is in the Word of God, the power words, amen? And it's been around for centuries. 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says this: and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. In the same way, we said this in week one, the same way I get saved, the same way I use my words to confess Jesus as Lord is the same way I appropriate every benefit that comes along with salvation. Amen? I believe and therefore I speak. Everybody say that. I believe and therefore speak. Words set the course for our life. James talked about it in terms of a bit in a horse's mouth. You understand the concept? Or the rudder of a ship. He said, your tongue is like this. Your tongue is like the rudder. Your tongue is like the bit in the horse's mouth. Your tongue, your words are going to steer the direction and alter, can alter, has the power to alter the course of your life. What you say. What you say. So you have to be very careful what you say, don't you? You have to be very careful, going back to what Pastor preached on Sunday, strongholds. Those strongholds begin with thoughts, right? Those thoughts that are planted, and he says you have to take every thought captive. There are thoughts that will come to us that some thoughts are our own by our flesh. Other thoughts are come from directly from the pit of hell, and they need to go back there. But so many times we take those thoughts that the enemy whispers in our ear, and we kind of meditate on that a little bit. It's the opposite of faith. We give in to fear. And he says, like he said to me, I told Pastor Susie this the other day. Like he said to me the other day, some of you know I tore my ACL back in December, and it's been a process. This year has been a process for me, for my health. And so I was out at the playground the other day and pushing Adelie on the swing, and right over here, Warren Road Community Center. They got a fantastic park over there. We go over there all the time because we live close. And right there on the basketball court, the basketball is how I injured my knee. And so I look over at the basketball court, and I'm looking at the guys playing, and people are jumping around and stuff. And I hear this, man, it's clear as day. And it was like, you know, the cartoons, we'll go back to cartoons, where the angels on one side and the devils on one side. It was like the devil's on this side of my shoulder. And he says, you'll never play basketball again. Clear as day. Like an audible thing. I'm just minding my business, pushing my daughter on the swing. You'll never play basketball again. Now, what could I do at that moment? Could think to myself, well, maybe you're right. I hurt my knee. And you see the train of thought, like where it could go. And then before long, you get to the point where you say, well, I'll never play basketball again. Because thoughts lead to belief. Belief leads to words. And so that's why it's so important to cast down those thoughts before they become beliefs, before they become your words, because you're going to eat what you say. So at that moment, I recognize, no, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. You have to be so convinced of God's word that you can recognize a lie as soon as it comes to you. That's why it's important to be fully persuaded, so that you can recognize the lies of the enemy when he's sitting on your shoulder saying, hey, you'll never do that. You're going to die before you're 30. He says that to people, doesn't he? Liar, liar, pants on fire. But we have to be convinced of God's word to the point that we can recognize the lie. And we say, no. But it's not just about rejecting the lie, is it? Because sometimes we get pretty good at rejecting the lie. Proverbs 6:2, listen to this. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Well, that's encouraging. Thank you, Solomon. But isn't it true? Words can create traps. Words can create a trap. If I would dwell on that thought that the enemy tried to plant in my mind long enough, my words could create a trap. And then he goes on to say in Proverbs 21:23, whosoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Do you hear the power of your words? Do you hear the language here? Guard your mouth. James talks about like the tongue is an unruly thing. Who can tame the tongue, he says. That's why you got to put a guard on your mouth. And sometimes we get so... Like we can be good at this. Like if you've heard this concept, like we're really good at this. We've got the confession police. You know what the confession police are? Like we're really good at like catching people on their words. And a lot of times it's our kids if they know that. Like my kids don't know that yet, so we're the confession police for them. And pretty soon it's going to start backfiring on us, and not in a bad way, because we want it to. Yeah, catch me if I'm saying something wrong. If I'm not speaking in faith, call me on it. You know what I'm saying? If I'm saying, you know, I'll never do that again, or I bend over, oh man, my back is killing me. Hey, what are you saying? Right? You want somebody to correct you. You want somebody to say, wait, what are you? Are you agreeing with that nonsense? That's a lie. You want somebody, you want the confession police. I want the confession police at my house. Come on over. Blast your sirens. You know, arrest my tongue. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Put it in handcuffs. Stop talking. Just shut up. Some of you need to hear that. Just shut up. If you can't say anything good, you understand. But we've stopped so many times. We've stopped there. I've gotten really good at this. Like, I know if I'm saying the wrong thing. I know instinctively. I know it. It's this innate ability. You see what I did there? Innate ability that I have. You like that? I learned that from Word Girl. Innate. It's a great word. Look it up. But it's this ability that I've learned over time. Like, I can catch myself if I say the wrong thing. But that's good. That is good. But that's not where you don't stop there. You can't stop there. Because if you stop there, you'll never have the opposite. You'll never have the result that you want. You understand what I'm saying? Like, so guarding your mouth, that's the beginning process. That's the beginning. You have to stop the bleeding. Okay? If you're continually saying your health is suffering, you're experiencing symptoms, don't own it. Don't say those things with your mouth, and don't perpetuate the problem. Yeah, my back may be hurting, but that's not killing me. Let's look at the silver lining. Yeah, your back may be in pain, but are you walking? Good. Look at the positive side of things and don't perpetuate the problem, because if you continue to perpetuate the problem, you'll have what you say. My back's killing me. Before long, you're a goner. Unless you have the confession of police at your house. And then they're saving your life. Jesus said this, and in context, he's really rebuking the Pharisees. But he says this whole phrase. It says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And that's such a truth. And we'll read the whole thing since you put it up there, and you're going to try to read it regardless of what I say. "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things." That's where you want to be, right? You want to have good treasure in your heart and bring forth good things. "And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things." Let's don't think of evil in terms of like evil, villainous, the bad Viking with stealing the diamonds. Let's think of evil just as like anything that's not good. Okay? Because I think we can say, well, I'm not evil. And you're right. But have you given in to evil thoughts until they become words? Okay. "Out of the evil treasure," and that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to give you some evil treasure. Here you go. Doesn't this look good? Don't you think this will be fulfilling? You should say this. "Out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak," idle just means careless, it means empty, worthless, "idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." That's a tough thing to hear, especially if you've been speaking some careless words. Why are our words so powerful? Stop to think about that? Like, we hear about the power of words. Here at Good News Church, we talk about the power of your words. Why? Why are our words so powerful? Why? Because that's how we were made. Whose image are we made of? Who made us? God. And in his image we were created, correct? We're made in his image. But here's the deal. Man sinned, and the image was distorted. Man was saved, and the image was restored. So we are like God. We are made in his image. He told Adam, hey, call the creatures, whatever you want to call them. Whatever you say, whatever you call them, that's what they're going to be. And the principle remains true because we are created in his image. Whatever we say, that's what it's going to be. Whatever we call it. You look at that situation, whatever you call it, that's what it's going to be. We're made in his image. We are like God. And so that's why our words have power, because God's words have power, don't they? So if we're made in his image, we should agree with him. We should say what he says. We should speak like he speaks. We should figure out, hey, let's study. If we're made in his image, let's go back to the beginning. How did God do things? How did he operate? Like, he got results and he's continuing to get results, right? And so if we want good things, let's study how God spoke. How did he use his words? Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. This is the word of God. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God's got a purpose for his words. He doesn't speak idle words. He doesn't speak careless words. There is no need of the confession police in heaven, because he's careful about what he says. He's got a purpose for every word he says. Some of us are so... thought about this the other day. Like, some of us talk until we think about something to say, and some of us think about what we're going to say before we say it. Be careful. Little mouth, what you speak. He has a purpose. Every word has a purpose. Every word has a purpose, and it's going to accomplish the purpose for which he said it. This is so good. How should we speak? We should speak like God speaks. We live in the fallen world. Language, bad language is all around us. And I'm not talking about just cussing. Okay? I'm talking about cursing. It's all around us. And so it's easy for it to seep in. But we should be careful. We should be careful because we recognize, hey, my words have power. What if? Think about this. Dwell on this to the point. What if Jesus came down from heaven, and he's already here, you know, but just like in our minds here. Think about this. What if he showed up at your house? He sat on the edge of your bed when you woke up tomorrow morning and he said, Michelle, every word you say today will come to pass immediately. Think about that. Think about that. What if it came to pass right then at that moment? Would you be a little bit careful, more careful about what you say that day? I would. I wouldn't tell my kids, quit that, you're getting on my nerves. It's like, they would be all my nerves. Like, literally, on them. And even in a literal sense, you understand, it's like, maybe we could get ridiculous with this, but we would be very careful. We would be very careful in how we say things. We would think a lot more about what we're going to say. Do I really want to say this? God's got a purpose for his words. He's got a purpose. The other reason that our words have power is because God spoke things into existence. This world was created by the sound waves of God's vocal cords. He spoke, and it was. He spoke things into existence. Hebrews 11:3 says that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Can you see your words? They're invisible. You can't see the words. Like if I recorded my voice and we showed it on a screen there, you could see the waveform that it makes. But it's an invisible thing, but it creates visible things. And then Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. This isn't something foreign to a foreign concept. God said, and it was. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And his word is upholding everything. His word is sustaining everything. Hebrews 1:3 says, upholding all things by the word of his power. His power words hold it all together. The message says he sustains the universe by the mighty power of his command. Okay? Another thing about God. Romans 4:17 puts it this way. We looked at Romans 4 a couple weeks ago with Harry. And we're talking about Abraham. And really, he's a lesson in faith. He's a study of faith. And in 4:17, it says that God calls things that are not as though they were. Okay, so in this essence of speaking things into existence, we don't, like, the reason we have the universe is because God wasn't in heaven when it was dark saying, oh my goodness, it's so dark. It is so dark. I can't even see my hand in front of my face. It's so dark in here. That's not how light's created, by declaring the darkness. Okay? God wanted a family. He didn't say, man, I'm so lonely. I'm so lonely. Nobody cares about me. Woe is me. I'm so lonely. That's not how God gets a family. He recognizes that he has powerful words. He's got purposeful words. And then they're sent to prosper. Okay? So he says, he wants light. What does he say? It's so dark in here. No, he says, let there be light. Let there be light. He calls things that be not, and the King James says, that be not as though they were. Abram, he changed Abram's name to Abraham. He started calling Abraham the father of many nations. Was Abraham the father of many nations at the moment that God called him the father of many nations? In the spirit realm, he was. But in the natural, no. It took a number of years for that confession to become a reality, right? But he calls things that aren't as though they are. With a word, he makes something out of nothing. You see, I tend to do a better job of watching my words, of guarding my tongue, than I do of speaking God's words. And I think that would probably be the norm for most of us. Like, we tend to do a better job of the confession police, like, patrolling and making sure we guard our tongue and put a bridle on our lips. But when it comes to the opposite, speaking God's word and declaring his truth, then it's kind of a lesser thing. It can tend to be a lesser thing. Okay, this right here, in comparison to God who calls things that are not as though they are, He doesn't just report on the present condition of things. It's not a report. He doesn't say, like, it's dark. He doesn't just say, hey, it's dark. That wouldn't be calling things that are not as though they were. If it's raining outside and the storm is upon us, Jesus didn't stand in front of out in the boat and say, it's raining. It's really windy out here. Guys. Like, that wasn't calling things that are not as though they were. He said peace. He said what he wanted, peace. Be still. And then he spoke to the storm. Faith and authority really work hand in hand here. So it's not a report. It's not like, oh man, things are really bad right now. It's calling things that are not as though they were. Yeah, it looks bad. I'm experiencing symptoms. Symptoms of a disease, symptoms of a sickness. The doctor says this. But God's word says this, and I choose to believe his truth. I choose to agree with his truth, and I speak his truth. God, by your stripes, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. And I declare the word of God because it's something, right now it doesn't seem to be a present reality, but I'm calling things that are not as though they were. And by contrast, he's not calling things that that are as though they aren't.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. He doesn't say it's not raining. It's not raining. It's not raining. That's denial. It's not raining. My back's not hurting. That back's not hurting. That's foolishness. It's not it's not a fact. It's not a truth. It's not a reality. Like, he says what he wants. He calls things that aren't as though they are, not things that are as though they aren't. There's a big difference. One's faith and the other is foolish. So here's where I really want to get to tonight. Let's look at Luke 17. This whole thing kind of in action here. And what Jesus really said. Jesus really understood the power of our words. He really understood faith. He had a grasp on faith. Yeah, because he was God in the flesh. But because he was a man, he had to understand how man should operate in this world. He set aside his superhero God powers in heaven. He laid them up there. And he said, I'm going to come down as a man. And I'm going to be a representation of mankind. And I'm going to do things the way that a man filled with God should do things. And so he taught the disciples so many great lessons, but I don't know if they really got it. And I don't know if we even really get it today. But we look at the scriptures and we see these lessons that Jesus taught the disciples, and they just right over our heads sometimes. This is one that I think has just kind of slipped through our fingers. Look at this. Luke 17, verse 5. The apostles, the disciples, said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. I need more faith. This is popular. There's a popular song like in Christendom. There's a popular worship song that says, give me faith. Give me faith. Give me faith. That's a great song, great tune. I mean, great band. It's awesome. It's not really biblical. He's already given us faith. And let me prove it out here. I know something that you maybe don't know yet, so you're not going to agree with me just yet. But listen, they said, increase our faith. He replied, here, more faith. Pow! Zapped you, more faith. We even see in Romans that he gave us the prescription for how to get faith. So how would he physically give us more faith when he said, you want faith? Here's how you get it. Faith comes how? By hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God. So for us to pray, God, give me more faith, we would liken ourselves to the apostles here, the disciples saying, increase our faith. What is his answer? Pow, more faith. What is his answer? Boom. Just pray a little harder. Hit your knees. Let's make a deal. You can get more faith that way. Listen to what he said. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. What is he saying? He's essentially saying, the amount of faith that you have isn't the issue, fellas. I mean, have you seen a mustard seed? It's minuscule. It's tiny. They say, increase our faith. He says, all you need is if you have this amount of, he's not saying you need ginormous redwood tree faith. If you have faith like this, you can say, what do you say? What? You can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted, be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. What is he telling them? Increase our faith. All you need is this little bit. He's essentially saying to them, you're not using the faith that you have. You're not using the faith that you have. If you were using the faith you had, you could say to this mulberry tree, and it would obey you. But you're not even using what you have to move sickness and disease, much less a physical tree. And then he goes into this. He's just a masterful illustrator. Like, he's got so much better illustrations than Word Girl. So much better. Like, that's the best I can come up with tonight for you. But Jesus, listen to this. He says, suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? It's ridiculous. Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink. Why would he tell them this story? Let me break it down for you. Anybody ever had a butler? No, you haven't. No, you haven't. But suppose you did. That's why he says suppose. Yeah. Suppose one of you had a butler. Suppose, just go with me if you will. Suppose one of you had a butler. If you had a butler, you wouldn't be so keen on him, like coming over to your house, stripping down to his knickerbockers, his suspenders, white tank top, and sitting down on you know, unless you're into that sort of things. But you really wouldn't be happy if you came home from work and he's sitting on your couch eating your potato chips, just gorging on Netflix. And then when you get home, he's like, what's for dinner, buddy? Is that how you picture a butler working in your house? Like, suppose you had a butler. You wouldn't want that butler to do that, right? Jesus. This is ridiculous. I just see the guy in his boxers and his tank top. Come on, Jeeves. If you had a butler, Jesus compared having a butler to having faith. He immediately followed his profound statement about faith with this illustration. It's basically saying, faith is the butler that you're not putting to work right now. Your words can create things, fellas. Your words have power. Your words can move things. Just a tiny bit of faith can move trees, mountains, obstacles, distractions. And Jesus compared having a butler to having faith. He says, basically, you got the faith. Just put it to work. Just put it to work. You wouldn't want a hired servant to come and you work for it, and you prepare his dinner. No, you expect your servant to work for you. He's saying you've got the faith. Just put it to work with your words. Well, some of you get discouraged. Well, I feel like I've been doing it. I've been discouraged. I'm discouraged right now. Some things in my health aren't where they should be. And you get discouraged and you think, well, I feel like I do. I'm doing everything right. I'm feeding myself with the word. I mean, the hours of messages that I've heard on healing lately are like way up there. They far supersede all of the seasons of TV that I've watched. Okay? Like if we're comparing these on the scales of faith or whatever. Like, And then you get discouraged and you think, well, I must not have enough faith. That's the logical conclusion, is I must not have enough faith, so I have to get more faith. Jesus is saying, you've got the faith. Just put it to work. So Tori, you come up here for a second. Grayson, you come up here. Here's how I can illustrate this. Tori, really quick. We only got a few minutes. 2 minutes. Down on the floor and it's push-up competition. Okay? All right, so here's the deal. Pastor, why don't you count Grayson? Don't give him any grace here. And I'll count Tori. I mean, come on. Just, that's okay, man. Just really help me. Even if you can just crank out like five. Are you ready, set, go. As many as you can.
No. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. 22, 23, 24. Are you tired? 28, 29, 30,
32, 33, 34. Come on, encourage them.
28, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44.
Well, he's maxed out.
46,
47. You're really sweating. That's good. 48, 48. Okay, so we got 48. How many did we get over here? 25. That's pretty good, actually. Pretty good. So come here, guys. Come here. You guys put in some work. Good job. Now, so Tori did 48. Was it 48? Did I say?
Something like that.
40-ish. And Grayson is making excuses, and he did 25. Which one of these fellas has more muscles?
Obviously me.
It's a logical question. Who has more muscles? Tori has more muscles? Ah, okay, the light bulb's coming on. Thanks, guys. So they have the same amount of muscles. Tori, just because Tori can do more push-ups doesn't mean that he has more muscles than Grayson. So we can't look at somebody on a stage or a platform, somebody who's raising the dead, healing the sick, and say, they've got more faith than me. I don't have enough faith. We have the same amount of faith. They may have exercised theirs more. They may have developed theirs more. But you can get to where they are by developing and exercising your muscles. Yeah. You got it? You got it? He doesn't have more muscles. We all have the same muscles. God created us to have the same muscles. You got the same Jesus. 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 The power of Christ is within you. You can do the same things that He did. You just got to exercise it to the point where you can sustain it longer. I'm preaching myself happy tonight. You don't need more faith. You just got to use the faith that you've got. Don't pray this prayer, give me faith. Don't pray this prayer, Lord, increase my faith. No, just start using the faith that you got. You just need that little bit. And then you can speak to your situation. You can speak to the mulberry tree. You can speak to your body. You can speak to your finances. You can speak to your bank account. You can speak to your home. You can speak to your kids. You can speak to your family. And you can declare it how you want it, and you'll have what you say. Amen. Amen. And that's the power of your words. That's some power words right there. Amen. Word girl ain't got nothing on you. You're never going to look at kids' TV the same again. Hallelujah. Well, that's kind of our time here, but I got you to the point where you can say some stuff. So let's stand up to your feet and let's just declare some things tonight as we close. You know, your faith should be stirred. I didn't increase your faith. You got faith. You got faith. Now let's just use it. Father, we thank you. We thank you that there is power in our words, and we recognize that our words have power. So we declare, we agree with your word, that everybody is healed and whole by the stripes of Jesus. That you provided healing for us just as you provided financial increase and stability and sustenance for us. Provision is ours in the name of Jesus. So we declare every bill paid on time, every debt paid in full in Jesus' name, an abundance in our banking accounts and savings accounts. Our accounts are overflowing. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are above and not beneath. We are the head and not the tail. We have what we say, and we declare by faith in the name of Jesus that we have an abundance. We have an abundance to give like never before, to be a blessing to the body of Christ, to give life like never before. We are life givers, and we'll see the nation saved. We'll see all the nations saved. All the nations of the world will be saved because this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved. And so we agree with you. It's your desire for people to be saved. So we declare that's your truth. That's your truth. That's what you see. So we put those words in our mouth and we prophesy it just like the prophets of old prophesied about Jesus coming. Oh, that the nations will be saved. Just as you saw, that's just as the Apostle John saw at the end. All the nations gathered around the song, the throne singing, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty. And you are holy. And you're drawing people to yourself. And we declare it to be so in Jesus' name. And this church is a prototype. This church is a blueprint for things to come, for other churches, for other ministries who will empower people to give life like never before. And we'll see the nation saved. We'll see the believers empowered. We'll see 100 million people saved in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And we're not going home until our job is done. We are living long, satisfied lives in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We take every thought captive. Satan, you're a liar. You're a liar in Jesus' name. And we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Yes, we line up our words and our thoughts with you in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And we leave here equipped and we leave here empowered. When situations don't go our way, we say, that's a lie. When things don't go so well for us, when we're experiencing symptoms, we'll immediately call it for what it is. That's a lie. And then we'll replace that with your truth. We'll agree with you. And we'll have what we say. And our life tomorrow will be better than our life today. Better days are ahead for us. Better days are ahead for us. Better days are ahead for us. Better days are ahead for you in the name of Jesus. Better days in Jesus' name. Better days in Jesus' name. Fulfilling days in the name of Jesus. Woo! Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And we're just getting started. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All righty. Hey, we'll just carry that out into the parking lot. Start talking to cars and people and trees and all kinds of stuff. Just go crazy in faith. Amen. Agree with what he said. Amen. Go and be blessed. Love you guys.